Leo, you're showing the wrong thing.
You're showing the wrong thing, Bill.
Oh, okay.
So my mic is on.
Yep.
I can go out there.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. Sorry for being late. I'm not really sorry, because I think most people expect it, right? We're a black organization. It doesn't make sense to be on time. Now, I'm playing. They have some issue with the computers back there, so we should get rolling in a minute here. What color is this shirt?
Gray.
Gray?
And white.
Blue.
And white designs on it.
What color is this shirt? Gray.
Bluish gray.
Who say blue or gray?
It's like a cloudy sky gray.
Amazing.
Well,
what color is the shirt, huh?
Gray has different undertones. It's got like a blue undertone.
Oh. What color is the shirt?
Yeah, it's not gray.
It looks like a gray.
I said gray.
You don't like gray. Let me ask the Chinese. What color is the shirt?
Gray.
Oh. the reason I ask, because I thought it was gray. And so when I got to the office, I asked James, and he said it was greenish blue. Right?
Yes.
Right, Joel?
Yeah, green blue.
Green blue. And so I asked Joel, oh, he said gray. And then we asked Nick, and Nick said what?
Blue.
Blue. And then I asked Sean, and Sean, what'd you say?
I said blue stone. Oh, yeah.
If you mix black and white on a palette, on a palette, you would come up with that color. You'd have to add a little blue to get that color.
Oh. I only see gray and some little white flowers. I see no other color. And so I was squinting trying to see it. I saw a little blue, I think, but I saw no green, I see no other color. And I don't even, what color you say it is?
Blue stone.
I don't even know what that means. You see blue stone? What's blue stone? I didn't either.
Type of stone. Like slate would be more gray. But blue stone would be gray.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. It's gray? You see gray, huh? See, normal people see gray. Am I sitting right, Bill? That's Billy, the engineer. You can't talk to him, though. He's not going to say a word. He is not going to respond. Especially now he's late.
Gray because of the white that's in it, so the contrast with your eyes will make you see.
What do you see?
Well, I see it as gray too, but
see, I think all black people see gray.
If you take out the white, you'll see a different color.
Yeah.
The contrast in your eyes.
Oh, I see.
If that shirt was just completely that color, then you see it a little bit.
Amazing. So that's why we shouldn't have mixed babies, huh? Oh, sorry, kids. All his kids are mixed. Except one.
I tried to make white babies, but
it didn't work. Well, they ain't white. They look white. And when they went to a black school, we found out very quickly they're black. They're white. Oh. What a mess, huh? What happened? We're about to start out here. We had a really good men's forum last week. It was amazing. It was really amazing. So ladies, yours coming up. The third. Anybody here first time?
Okay.
Where you been? You look well.
Thank
You got a boyfriend or something?
No.
Why are you looking so amazing?
I don't know. Older, wiser, maybe?
And no anger?
Yes, I have anger.
You have anger?
Yes.
Oh.
That's why I came back. You know what I'm getting out of hand, I better go to Vaughn.
Go see the doctor. And so did you think you did have it at one time? Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship. I'm Jesse Peterson. We're late because of the technical problems in the back. So I don't know. I want to apologize, but I really don't feel bad about it. But I can lie if you want me to make you feel good. But welcome. Your questions and comments, go to our YouTube chat line, and Hate will pass them on to me. What else? Welcome. Welcome, y'all. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Anybody here the first time? First timer. What's your first name and how did you hear about it?
Yes, it's my first. I came just for the Women's Center.
Oh, you came for the Women's Center. Oh, okay.
Before, but it's my first time on a Sunday.
Well, welcome to Sunday morning.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
With my son.
Oh, that's your son? Hey, son.
Hello.
Is this your first time?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your name?
My name is Emilio.
Let him hold it.
My name is Emilio.
Welcome, man. All right. Feel free to speak up or whatever, all right? How did you hear about us?
Through my mom.
Oh, you did?
She would always put it on Sundays, and I'll just listen to it with her.
Oh, good. Have you forgiven her?
Yeah.
You told her?
Forgive her.
You told her?
Yeah, I've told her.
Well, good. Yeah. Amazing. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I got a call from someone that's really close to me, like a family member. And they have heard me say, go into a quiet room and be still, be quiet, don't have anything on. And for years they've been saying, no, that's not real. I'm not gonna waste my time doing that. As because they're like in the limelight, they have a lot of friends, they're very active and they party up and they got a little money, they say. And so they thought everything was fine. But they said, let me just test this, see what Punchy's talking about. Well, they call me Punchy. But I'm Jesse and Punchy. But let me see what you're talking about. So they said that they took one day and stayed home all day long, the whole day, and did nothing. Just did nothing, didn't call anyone, didn't talk to anyone. And they watched a little TV, but not much, because they were trying to really go through the whole day, right? And I wrote down what they said. Just so I remember correctly. And they said that I spent one full day at home, but it was a complete terror. And they woke up the next morning thinking, it was a terror for me yesterday and last night. They said that they looked around the room, nobody was around. They were going through all this fear and loneliness and emptiness and everything, doubt. And they looked around the room and they was like, around the house, and they said no one was around, nothing was happening, everything was fine, but they were in terror. And they woke up the next morning thinking, I lived in terror yesterday. And they did not know that that was in them, because they never allowed that to catch up with them. Every time they felt that a little bit before really dealing with it, they didn't know it was that deep. But they lived a terrible, fearful, terror day. And nothing was happening. No one was around to say scary things to them, but it was all in their mind. They were locked in their mind, and it was the worst day they ever had in their whole life. Anybody ever lived that way? Can anybody relate to that? How can you relate to that?
I think I was blind to it for a while. But yeah, I live in fear for everything. Judging others, judging myself, not completing what it is I say I'm going to do. I recently had an experience where it exposed to me that I was in fear as well. And someone even saw it on my face. And that brought light to it. It was kind of scary. So I've been recently doing the silent prayer again and being still. And it took it all away, which is crazy.
Amazing. You know,
but, yeah, it is.
Actually. You say you can relate to it too?
So we just recently moved really far out of LA. And we were here yesterday morning out in the Manhattan Beach area. And we used to live in Redondo. And I was just telling Randy, we left because LA is just so rowdy and crazy.
Right.
And I was telling him, I'm like, I miss it. I miss that crazy.
You miss the craziness?
I do. I do. So I'm like, it feels like home.
You want to sell your house and come back into hell?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Exactly. So I can totally relate with that person. It's so beautiful and quiet where we live. It's so peaceful and serene. It's just, it's beautiful.
Right.
But I miss that craziness.
Amazing.
I know.
I told you, some people love their hell. They love their misery. You can relate to that type of terror?
Yes.
And go ahead.
But the person who's just sat home, didn't do anything?
When nothing was happening, they said like nothing was happening. No bad thing was happening. They were full. They had food in the refrigerator. Everything was fine. But yeah, they were living in terror.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. I mean, just I feel, or my mind tells me, oh, you got to do this. Oh, if you stay home, you're going to miss out on X, Y, Z errands.
Yeah.
You have this time. Why don't you just go do it? It just tells me I'm wasting time. And then it just, I feel like I'm shook or something.
They even said that at one point, Satan told them, you might as well kill yourself. Really, they said the thought came like two or three times during that day, you might as well kill yourself. And they literally almost hung on to that thought. Nothing wrong. They got all kind of friends, so-called friends and everything. But Satan convinced them, almost convinced them that you might as well kill, because they were so in so much terror, Satan almost convinced them to kill themselves. It just sounded like their voice, and it sounded real, and it came as really fast. It was really interesting to see this person say this because they're not trying to seek to overcome anything. They think they got it all right. They're like one of the bourgeois folks. That's the last thing they thought that they had to deal with. Isn't that amazing? But that is in every human being. Every human being, everyone that's born of the woman, that is in you. And can't nothing take it away but awareness. Nothing, nobody, no thing, no lying to yourself or anything. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing the average person is capable of doing, is dying. They don't want to die too. Isn't that amazing? They'd rather read the scriptures and pray every day, a prayer, than die. Amazing. It was so interesting to hear this from this person. I was surprised they tried it, really. But they were trying to prove me wrong. I'm like, what the? And you were telling me, and good to see you again, you still have anger.
Well, I...
You went away for a while.
I was gone because I was trying to take care of my father's estate. Oh. And my father left us a beautiful legacy and worked hard for it. But I have four brothers, and that's the problem, because I still am in the house because I was there with my father. I found him when he had a stroke and all this. You know, and basically, I've helped my brothers to get the home ready for whatever we're going to do with it. But things, you know, whenever it comes to money and family, there's a very strange line that they change into different people.
It happened with all families.
Yeah, so
it's crazy how you fight over somebody else's stuff.
I try to tell my brother I'm not a business, but he's trying to run me and everything around me like a business. But I just let him. But I've done that where you say your mind plays tricks on you because my father was in that home, because my mother was in that home. I've seen, you know, both of them pass now and. Everybody's gone. So yeah. I'm in this big old house by myself, and it does. I have to take myself into a room and kind of not lock myself in there, but for heating purposes or for, you know, electrical purposes, I try to keep the utilities to one area, but it does. My mind is playing tricks on me, and I have to a point where I feel somebody. I feel it.
Yeah.
And I have to talk myself through it constantly. Or I call a kid and they go, again? You know, whoever I call, they want to know, you know, you're letting, my son tells me, Mom, you're just giving it life. Don't think about it. What have you learned? That's what I said. When I'm going a little cuckoo, I have to come back here to realize all thoughts are lies.
And so is it difficult to, let's say this is you and these thoughts are happening. These mm-hmm. are thoughts. Is it difficult to just keep your eyes on it?
Mm-hmm.
And just keep your eyes there.
It's difficult because I've weaned myself off of a med that I was on for 27 years. And so that coming off, I didn't tell my family or anything. I just decided I'm sick of this medicine. I don't need to, I'm not what they think I am. I'm going to get off it. So I thought I would do it, and I have. But it was difficult because of that, what was all the toxins coming out of my body. So that was playing tricks on me, and then feeding into these things around me that aren't there.
Yeah.
You know? And the loneliness, like you said. Yeah, it's crazy.
The devil be telling you need to go to a party. You need to contact, they're out there having fun. You need to be a part of fun. You need to go shopping. You need to do this and that. It's just lying to you. And, but most people obey that, and they went up wasting time, money, and everything.
Yep, that's it.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning and night?
You know what? I wasn't, and I started back doing it because I broke my foot, and I just got my foot out of a cast, and I have a three-story house, so that was really interesting to try to get upstairs and stuff. But because I was able to, you know, it's almost like if you can go up the stairs, you can hang all these fire alarms. I'm like, what? You know, it's like, you know, what does that have to do with the other? You can, you know, break down the filter in the pool or, you know, whatever it is. I found myself being Joe Construction. So it's been tough. It's been really tough. I'm glad I'm here.
Stay with the prayer. You got to stay with it.
I know,
You got to keep coming and fellowshipping with like-minded people. You gotta, and I know this because this is what I've been doing for the last 30-something years.
Yeah.
I've been fellowshipping with people, not always agreeing, but that's fine, but fellowshipping, and then doing the prayer and watching you, meaning watching yourself, right? It really takes words.
Yeah, I'm so sick of crying. I mean, it's like, what's she crying about today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say sick of crying, what do you mean?
I constantly cry.
Oh, you cry tears?
Yeah, tears.
And why?
Wasting my tears.
And why?
Well, it starts off, I think I miss my parents, but that's not it.
Right.
It's constantly just something new. It's something. But it always comes back to that. And I'm like, no, that's not, I don't know.
And Satan said, oh, poor me. That'll make you want to cry.
Pitiful. Just disgusting.
How come it's taking so long?
It gets to a point where you can't even call anyone because they've heard it before, so you don't.
Right.
And then you cry more.
Well, stay with it. Don't give up.
I will.
All right, just stay with it. This is not political, so I'm not promoting anyone. I was listening to our government recently, and I realized, I already know this, but even more clear, our government is just like us. They do things to hurt us, and then they lie about hurting us by saying somebody else did it. And that's what all human beings do to one another. They hurt one another, and then they blame it on you or somebody else. They never say, you know what, yeah, I'm trying to hurt you. And our government, because they're human beings, they're doing the same thing. Isn't that amazing? You must be born again. I want to get to any questions about anything. Anybody had? I forgot to ask. Yes, Raymond.
What you say that we have a tendency to hurt one another and pass the buck on to our neighbor?
Meaning what?
mean that it seems like in our state, the only we have to learn realize that everything or everyone we love, we have to love at a distance, because the closer we get to a person or a thing, the more we hurt that person.
Absolutely.
And ourselves. Yeah.
You notice how when people date, when they first meet, they have a little space between one another. And so they call themselves loving one another, being so nice to each other, love one another, right? And then as soon as they get married, they try to just kill one another. The closer they get, the worse they get. Same thing with friendship or anything. If you have a distant friend, you're friendly because you don't know reality. But the closer you get, the more you quiet and you destroy one another. Isn't that like amazing? That's so amazing to me, I don't know what to do. Yes, sir.
I was wondering, how come the devil only attacks you when you're alone like that, you know, versus when he's always out, it was fine, but when he comes by himself?
Because alone time is quiet time, it's shut down time, and the truth has a chance of catching up with you.
Oh, I see.
Revealing what's really going on inside of you. And the devil does not want that to happen. He doesn't want the truth to catch up with you. He want you busy. He want you in your head. He want you reading the scripture. He want you praising the Lord. He want you partying. He want you acting. Quietness is when the truth can catch up with you. That's what God want. He's trying to slow you down so he can catch up with you and set you free from hell. Because Christ came and he owned us. God owned us now. Satan doesn't own us at all. All our sins have been paid for. We're not guilty of anything. We're really free people. But if you stay busy, you don't know you're a free person. Satan got you. But if you calm down, you get to see eventually, I really am a free person. I have no reason to be guilty. I have no reason to worry. I have no reason to fear. I have no reason to commit suicide. So that's why he doesn't want the truth to catch up with you.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing. I read a report on a show Sean gave me that white men make up, I don't know if it said, did it say white men or men, period? Make up 50% of the society?
Yeah, it's men, period.
Men, period. Make up 50% of society and 80% commit suicide. And they're like, I'm like, what the? Did y'all know that? 80% of men commit suicide now.
80%
of the 50%, right. 80% of the 50% of men. That's even astonishing.
80% of the suicides are men.
Of men. Isn't that like, I never heard of that.
Homeless is a similar number.
So what?
Homeless is a similar number.
Homeless, what do you mean?
Homeless men are a similar number to the suicide, like more... Men are become homeless. Like, oh, they'll take in a woman to put a roof over her head, but the guy is okay in a tent.
Really?
Well, if you look at the numbers, it's a similar statistic to the suicide.
Wow. But this doesn't make sense. I've always, thank God, had sense enough to fight for myself. You know, even with the devil, he's gotten me close to suicide before, way back when, but I still had sense enough to fight. I don't know how, I think I do know, but I don't know how a person give up on themselves. Okay, I'm just going to be a bum and live on Skid Row and take drugs and free food and all that. Or I'm just going to go ahead and kill myself. How do you not fight for your life? It looked like if my life, I got to fight for it. You know what I mean? Even with this thing with Satan and dying, right? I would never stop giving up dying from the ego death, the spiritual death. I wouldn't stop. Now I know you can do it. I didn't know before. Now you know. Why would you give up on dying and live in hell? You might well be dead. You are dead, really. Eyes open. Let me take here, and then I saw there.
I've heard you mention about some of the layers that you kind of go through when you start working on yourself. I just had a question directly towards you.
Okay.
Were there any layers?
Speak up a little louder.
Were there any layers of your experience as you journey? Is there any layers that were harder than others? And do you always have the same approach as the layers start to reveal themselves to you?
That's a good question. When I first started out, the lyrics were difficult, all lyrics. Not even eating ice cream was difficult. Because I would tell myself, I'm not going to eat any more ice cream like this. I like ice cream. I haven't had it. Now I had to have some for lunch. I used it whenever I felt guilt. I would make ice cream with nuts in it, black walnut, nutty coconut. I would go to the store and get that. And then I would buy some peanut butter cookies and crumble them in there. And then I would get me a strawberry pop and pour it in there. And turn the TV on, I'm in paradise. But when I realized this is holding me back, not only putting on fat, but it's holding me back. And so I would say, I'm never going to do this again. And so a day or two would go by, and Satan would literally tell me, I didn't know at the time what Satan telling me, it would be nice to have that for dessert. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, just a little dessert. And then Satan would tell me, go get one of those little packs, right? I'm like, okay. So I'm walking down to the store, driving over to the store, I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to get a little pack, right? And by the time I get to the ice cream stand, I see these big packs, and I try not to reach for them, but I do. And I get the big pack, and the whole thing repeats itself. It was impossible for me to stop. And I would tell myself I'm going to stop. But what I realized when I stopped lying to myself, saying that I'm going to stop, and start watching myself do it, I lost the taste for it. And now if I eat ice cream, I can eat one spoon, I'm fine. You know, or not eat it at all for a long time. And so that's why I tell you with your vices or whatever it might be, stop claiming them, but watch them. And the Spirit of the Father. And then as you go through one difficult one, the next one is not as difficult. The next layer. And then you go through the other layer, and the next one is not as difficult. They do get weak. Because and it has nothing to do with me or you or anyone else. The light will shine on them and make them weak and weaker to the point you forget about them. It will happen. All right? But you just got to stay with it. You got to stay with it. And it's not even difficult, but because we have identified with, I have identified with for so long, it feels like us. You know, it just feels like you. If I don't be this, then what will I be? You know, I feel like, you feel like you lose yourself. But if you knew right now that it wasn't you at all, you could walk out of this room a free person and never have to deal with it anymore. It would be all over. The devil would be gone. All vices, all identities, all everything would be gone. And you would be looking for love, and you'd be able to hang out with people, and it'd be fun, and that's about it. When the fun is over, it's over. You don't feel like you got to have it. And if someone want to be in your life, you're welcome. If they want to leave, bye. It wouldn't be a problem. It really, really wouldn't. And not in your power, but in the power of the Father now. Because you're back home with Him, and He's taking care of, He's driving us, rather than the devil himself. That's so amazing to me. That's like mind-blowing to me. Isn't that amazing? Okay, is that it? Okay. How is it for you now?
I don't cry as much as I used to. I've noticed that. And then also there's a lot of layers. And then one layer will reveal something that I haven't thought about in years. And certain things about myself that have been uncovered by all the stuff that I piled on top of it.
Yes.
So it's just a very layered time right now.
Yeah. I estimate, but I could be wrong. There are about, and it may be less, but it might not, maybe 60 demons in you.
Well, what's interesting that you say that is that recently I thought about that. And just the thought of it, crazy enough, I know I'm a thrill type person.
Yeah.
I got the heebie-jeebies. Like my skin started to feel like it was like something was crawling on me.
Yeah.
Like just the thought of all of that inside of me gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like literally my skin just.
I understand that. Absolutely. We tend to think that there's one big devil And there is. He's the daddy of the little devils, the demons, the spirit. But they're the one big dog, Satan, and all his little demon children. All his little demons. And then once you overcome the demons and get close to overcome, he's going to send other demons inside of others after you. He just won't give up, but eventually they will scatter as well. They can't help it. Isn't that amazing? We are really filled with demons. It's not post-traumatic and HTD and STD and it's not those things. They are demons, and if you see them for what they are, then you can deal with them. But if you sugarcoat them by calling them something they're not, you're stuck. You're stuck. Yes, sir. And then I come here.
Okay, yes. I have to give you a big compliment, a huge compliment. In the years I've heard you talk, you always say endure, 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 like those three, that three words, yes. Endure, endure, endure. And I have followed up on the endure as my mantra or mantra, whatever you call it, motto.
Yes.
Like, for example, I'll give you an example. Like in the summer of 2020, July 2020, I hit rock bottom. I was unemployed for 138 days. And I endured, 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 and eventually got a job that paid me $41 an hour. Okay, so I recovered from that because of enduring.
Right.
Okay, I hit my second rock bottom in April 2023. I broke 12 bones. Which is quite dramatic. I spent 6.5 months in a nursing home. Endure, endure, endure again. And I'll give you an example of how endurance pays off. And other people like, you know, okay, he hit rock bottom July 2020. He hit rock bottom April 2024, actually, this year. And no, last year, April 2023. I was like, okay, give me an example. I recently invested in the stock market, in an artificial intelligence stock, and the CEO is Jensen Huang. Anyway, because I endured, I did research and research and research, and this week I made $56,000 in profits off this artificial intelligence stock. So it pays off to endure. There is a payoff, and you have emphasized endure, endure, endure. I'm a living example of that. I mean, never my wildest dreams do what I think.
And that's good in a physical sense, but I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about enduring the spiritual death. You know, even Christ, when he had to do it, he was like, you know what, Father? Are you sure I had to go through this? Whatever thy will is, let it be done. Christ, that's... ego death wasn't easy either. He was sent here for that, but it wasn't easy, right? But that's the death that I'm talking about. And you're right, the physical thing, if you get the spiritual thing right, overcome that, you're going to deal with the physical in the right way because the spirit of the Father would guide you through the physical things too. And so now you got, as you have done with the physical, I recommend you start working on a spiritual thing like that in the same way. For example, your son or his mother don't want to talk to you, right?
Exactly.
Don't get angry at them. And whatever you feel about it isn't you. That's the death you got to die from. Just see that you're angry about it, but do nothing about it, but see it. That's the thing I'm encouraging you to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely beta about my 21-year-old son, definitely.
Yeah.
And now I'm less beta about it. Like, before I needed him,
right.
And I was like, it doesn't matter how much I need him or want to make contact with him or him give me the silent treatment again. It's only hurting myself.
What?
It's only hurting myself, like ruminating or thinking about it, whatever.
And
like,
that's
he
not
doesn't
even,
care. My son doesn't care.
Right, but so, that's not even yourself. That's not self. It's not you, but you think you're hurting. And that's why I'm going to encourage you to take the pain of hurting, but don't call it you, and that'll be taken away from you. And so if somebody don't want to hang out, they don't want to talk, fine. You wouldn't feel anything about it. But you got to die from wanting that. Your son has a right not to talk to you. Really. If you don't want to talk, whatever his issue is, but don't make his issue your want.
He's got a lot of anger, like tremendous right. amount. And he's told me he's insanely angry.
Right.
He told me that.
But forgive him and take your eyes off him and spiritually keep them on you, on yeah. yourself. All right?
Okay.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Yes, ma'am.
This is in response to the conversation surrounding fear. This week, you know how you always say that you talk about how people will build an army against you?
Right.
I've heard you say that, and I understand it, but I've never experienced that until this week, this past week. I found myself in a group of people having a casual discussion, and the discussion kind of went political. And I remember mentioning something innocent, really, about a certain person who inspires me. And I literally saw this large group of people who typically respect me, mind you, and have treated me very well for a couple of years now, rise up against me
yeah.
in such a volatile way that it startled me, but they didn't see. I stood my ground and I didn't let them see that. But as I was driving home, fear began to set in a little, and I began to think, am I going to be alone? Like, is everyone just going to turn against me and I'm going to find myself alone? And what if my husband decides that my mind just began to go all these places. Yeah. So when this happened, when I got home, I went to turn on your show. I'm like, I need some Jesse right now. But then even in that, I felt in that moment that I'm using you as a crutch, yeah. that now you've become a crutch. And what am I going to do if I can't connect? What if the electricity were to go out and or the satellites and I'm not able to connect with your shows? So I sat in it, and the terror that your friend described is exactly what I yeah. began to feel. And I really didn't know what to do with myself. And then I began to question, what if what Jesse's saying isn't true? What? And it just became this big rabbit hole that yeah. I began going down. And I'm here, and everything is fine. But it was just really an interesting revelation, because yeah. I'm not typically a fearful person. So I found that to be interesting.
And all the conversation that was happening about that, to bring all that fear and stuff, was in the head. It wasn't even real. But you heard your voice, and you were feeling the pain. And because of that, he was giving you more and more to think about, more and more to worry about. But it was never you. And if you stay with it, you start catching those thoughts really fast, the pain is less, and the thoughts are weaker. But yes, they are going to turn on you.
Yeah.
The only way they don't outwardly turn on you is that you stop. And it's not them, it's just that the darkness hate the light. And any little light in you, the darkness in them are going to hate it, and they're going to overreact just like that and try to destroy you.
Yeah.
So it will happen.
Your husband,
your family members, your friends, your coworkers, your club friends or whatever, right? They will turn.
Yeah.
You can bank on it.
I believe that.
Everyone you thought loved you, hate you. It has been because you were in the dark and you thought they loved you, but they
mm-hmm.
hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to see it. It's always been fake.
Yeah. I'm beginning to understand that. Like, it isn't, it's to such a level that you can literally say, oh, I like so-and-so. And it's not that, okay, I disagree and I have a separate opinion. It's, I disagree right. and you're a horrible person.
Yes.
And you need to be hung, you know. And it's like,
that's true.
I don't know. It's like, how do you even maneuver through that with the world? But that's a different conversation for a different
time. You argue with the devil. Here's something I want you all to know. I've said it before. You don't owe the devil an explanation. You don't owe the devil an explanation. No matter what they say about you, what they do, don't communicate with the devil in your mind, and don't communicate with the devil inside of others. Stop it. These are just dumb human beings. Why do you think you owe them an explanation? Just think about that. You know, whatever they think, fine. I don't owe you an explanation. Stop explaining to the devil.
But what if you find yourself being called to the carpet, for example, at the workplace for something? And what, like, how do you maneuver through that? Like, you're not arguing with the devil, but you need to, but you want to state your case. I mean, you're not going to side with the tribal thinking people.
State your case without anger.
Okay.
No matter what you're thinking or feeling inside, be aware of that. The devil tell you, oh, I really want to go off on this boss. Who do she think or he think he is telling me I can't do a good job? Or I got to come in and work all this work. The devil, it's the same way driving home, right? The devil going to be telling you all those things and you're feeling all those things, but just stay aware of that. But say to the boss, you know what, no, I did this. This is what happened. This is what happened. But stay away from the anger, even though you're feeling it, or the fear, and God will work it out. It'll be amazing. Something will happen that you won't even imagine that can happen. Should I say this now? I'll come back to that. Remind me, something will happen that we can't imagine, right? But you have a right to communicate with the boss, but you're wrong when you hate the boss.
Well, what I'm saying is in the context of not whether job performance, I mean in the context of things that seem to trickle into the arena of the business place that pertain to this tribal thinking that's happening. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to articulate it. Like maybe it's a political, not even necessarily, it could be masks. Okay, some people want to wear masks, others don't. And you say you don't want to wear it, suddenly there's
just
this thing
don't
that
argue
happens.
With them about it. They have a right to be that way.
Right,
you don't have to argue with them about it.
It's I'm not. I don't argue
don't
with anyone. But I'm saying you're still, it's not about arguing. It's not even about saying anything. You're still, like, you're still attacked and judged in a certain way
and
where it becomes, okay.
And who is that they're attacking? Are they attacking you?
Right.
No, that was a question.
Well, I've heard you say this to a million people. Why don't I know better? No, they're not. But it does.
Who are they attacking
then? Well, then not me. But when you're in the thing of Buddha is when you're in that position, it doesn't feel like the not me. It feels like me.
Right.
It feels like I need to not necessarily defend myself in an antagonist, you know, in a way of contempt, but in a way of just standing my ground. Yes, I don't agree with that. Yes, I agree with this without feeling an attack or without feeling like I'm going to be ostracized or someone's going to come to my house and slip my tires or having these thoughts that because it's amped up to such a point where it seems very violent to
people's
responses.
When you see clearly that there is no one there to attack, you'll be fine.
Okay.
There is no one there to attack.
Okay.
There is no you. All these fears and stuff you're having about that, second thoughts about what do I do, that's still not you, but you think it's you, and that's why you think you need to come up with some form of protection. I promise you there is no you there. And these spirits, layers and layers of spirit that's overreacted to that situation is what need to die, so you need to let that happen. That's what God means when he said, come unto me as you are. Scared, weary, worried, lonely, whatever. Come as you are, meaning let yourself feel that, and he'll come in and save you from that. It's all evil. He'll take that away from you. But if you run from it by protecting it with something else, then it's going to stay in you, made a home in you, it's going to destroy you.
Okay.
It's not you.
But even so, if someone comes at you in a physical way, you're still supposed to be like, okay, it's not me, and just
When you say physical way, what do you mean?
Just where, well, of course, that's in my head, so I probably shouldn't go there. But I just had visions.
If someone
comes
at you, they want to knock you out or smack you, you smack them first. But if someone come at you and they and it's interfere, it's not physical, but it's spiritual, you go through that so you can die from that.
Like, for example, people who are in prison right now, for example, for being patriot, whatever it is. I don't want to get into the political.
Right.
But they're dealing with an actual situation that is unpleasant, and it and they're in that situation that's unpleasant by no, you know, for no good reason. You know what I'm saying? Like how do
well,
you
there's cause and effect for everything.
Okay.
And what I would say to those people, relax, get to know yourself so you can understand what got you here. What was it, your ego? Were you not doing things because you wanted a thrill? What good was it going to do for you to even do that? Did you overreact to the situation? Take those moments to overcome as well. Don't feel like a victim. Poor me. I'm never going to get out. I'm never this. Every opportunity to give you a way out. But they need to see why they ended up in that situation. And they can't blame anyone but themselves.
But I mean, like, the people, like, there was a guy recently who went to prison. You're a fan of his. And remember, he went to prison for nothing, for being a patriot, really. I don't, like I said,
yeah,
I don't want
to
get into
get
the political. But I'm just saying, I'm talking about people who didn't really do anything to get into that position, except state a point of view, for example.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Someone that went to prison, they didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Like they got there because maybe their convictions are unlike the group think people.
So you ask me, what do they do if you got there? You didn't do anything wrong?
Right.
And that's
the
question?
Do you say still in that scenario you're supposed to treat that as, okay, this is not me here, and I how do you not absorb the repercussions when you're in? How do you not absorb that moment that you're in that's unpleasant, even though you're in it?
Well, if you're black, you say, I'm here because I'm black. And if you're white, you say, I'm here because I'm white. No, Sean, I see two people that want to respond to that, then I put my little two cents in and move on. You end up in jail, you didn't do anything wrong. Your motivation was right, you think, but you end up in jail, what do you do?
I mean, I think what you said was the right answer. You said it already. You just take that time to get to know yourself and to see what brought you to that situation.
But how about if you didn't do anything wrong?
Doesn't change the answer, you know? Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He was crucified, so.
Amazing. Yes, you are.
I agree. I mean, I think a lot of the time, though, I think most of the time is brought on by our own actions. Like, whatever pursuit we feel like we need to fight for is oftentimes ego anyway, so a lot of people are in there because they deserve to be. But in the case where sometimes it does happen innocently, then you'll know in that moment that you're there and you shouldn't be, and you'll endure it. But you'll have like a understanding that God is with you because you shouldn't be there in the first place. So there wouldn't be fear or regret or none of that.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. That's in your hair? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
Well, yeah, I think especially with what Joelle said, I think that there is a time where you realize what all we've been talking about is a spiritual battle. And I think that eventually you understand that the darkness is not like the light. And there is there's going to be a battle, and I don't know, I've heard this saying in the Bible all the time, but it actually feels more real now than it ever has for me. But God won't bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it. So
okay.
You know, it's super Bible thumping, but I just feel like there is not a secret, especially not anymore, about the violence of the evil and
yeah.
against the light. You know, and one question I have is that from your experience, have you found that the nature of good or the nature of evil, do they have rules? Do they have like, you know, like the we always say the nature
evil
and the order of things?
No rules.
Okay.
Angry people have no rules.
Okay. Nothing that they have to abide by.
Nothing to abide by. Total destruction.
Okay.
no rules, destroy you any way they can. No rules in evil. But in God's nature, there are rules.
Okay.
There are rules, okay. And they're amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Ricky.
The story reminds me of a man who he was jailed, and he said that he knows that this was wrong and that it was unjust. He said that he's going to go in and he's going to become stronger and tougher. He's going to learn something from it. And that's probably one of the best attitudes I've heard of somebody in a situation like that, you know.
Okay.
Coming out stronger.
Last word on it. How about if you end up in jail, you didn't do anything wrong, right? Am I saying you right? Because I'm black and I forget. Your intention was well, you did nothing wrong, your patriotic thing was well, but you end up in jail, you do nothing wrong. How do you deal with that? Okay, you say?
I say to do what's in front of you to do in that situation, and like agree with everything that everybody else said. And then when Frankie was talking, I was thinking about, I believe it was Joseph, and he was jailed. He went through so much, but every time he ended up coming out on top, he ended up being like the prince of Ethiopia. I don't know. Yeah. I know the story, but
who was Joseph?
Wasn't it Joseph in the Bible where his brothers like sold him into slavery, and then he ended up in jail?
Where Joseph
and then
now?
He ended up. He did.
He did.
He did. No, but okay. The story it says that all that he went through, he endured. Like what Alex was saying, endure in a spiritual way, and he ended up on top. But I say, do what's in front of you to do in the moment, at the time, and when you're in the present, God will guide you.
Okay, amazing. I say that anyone in jail, they are to blame for it. And the reason that they're in jail because they couldn't see what they were doing. They couldn't see. They were saying one thing, but still they couldn't see what they were doing, and they ended up in jail. It was their fault because you can't see. Because one thing, when you can see, you don't end up in jail. When you can see, you end up with no troubles, no challenges, no issues, no nothing, when you can see. And that's what prevents you from going to jail. So when you do end up in jail, it's a time to reflect, what is it that I didn't see? What is it that I was missing in me? What is it that I didn't see? When you can see, you're not going to end up in jail. So everyone that's in jail should be there because they can see. The world cannot touch you when you can see. The world cannot touch you when you know who you really are and not who you think you are. You know what's amazing? What? Why are you looking like that?
I don't agree. Like, I can't really speak on this right now because it is somewhat political at the crux of it all.
Right.
So I'm going to have to save this for another time. But my question really hasn't, I still have a question about this. I'll have to talk to you off, you know, at a separate time.
Okay.
Maybe, or at the women's forum or something.
All right.
Yeah.
I understand. Yes, ma'am.
Why is it that...
I don't think people understand that because all we know is darkness, we understand darkness, we don't understand the light.
Right.
Really, we understand the darkness. Yes.
So that brings up something for me, because I'm trying to stand my ground and pretty much don't really care what the other person, being my family members, this is the answer. You ask me a question, this is the answer. And they're like, wow. I said, well, it is what it is, you know? I'm just trying to be blatantly honest, like whether it's an opinion or whatever, but this is how it was and this is how it is. And they take offense to it, really, like I'm the, like how dare I, like be telling them, you know, that I don't really care. Oh, well, you want me to do this? I don't really care what you want. you know, and they're like, because I'm speaking my mind,
right,
they're having a problem with it.
Right.
And I don't know how to handle it.
But not handle, why do you need to handle it?
I don't. That's why I'm telling them,
oh,
you know.
Okay. Yeah, but no, that's their issue. As long as you know your heart, you're not angry at them, you're not judging them, you're doing the right thing, there's nothing else to think about.
You're right.
But just know you, so you can know that you're being honest, that you're doing the right thing. You're being led about what's right, you're doing right. You can't do anything about how other people are feeling or what they're saying or how they're overreacting about it, because their mind is just on money.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it.
They want to sell this house and want to make sure they get their percentage. And
but yet,
they want the cars and the clothes and blah, blah, blah.
Everything.
Yeah.
My brother wanted a list of all my expenses because I gave him receipts. And he says, no, you need to list them and itemize them. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, they don't have my size at Lowe's. So Home Depot and I don't go there to shop. You know,
but just don't get angry at them.
It's really hard not to, but I'm trying not to. I'm just blowing it off and do, you know.
Do you believe that you can live a life of no anger?
Yes. I
do. Okay, then. So stop saying
as long as I have exercise, I could.
When the young lady was talking about the layers and levels of demons we have to overcome.
Right.
Anger is one of the demons that we have to overcome. It's not you. It's just another one of Satan's children that's working on you. And you think that it's you because you feel it.
Right.
And you think it and you feel it. Stop identifying with that. Don't call it you anymore.
Got it.
Don't call yourself a victim. Don't call yourself anything.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Amazing. Did I see your hand? Okay. Amazing. Is this helping? Mm-hmm. Nice. Yes.
I just wanted to relate to the story you told about your family friend that spent a day alone.
Like, speak I realize, up a little bit louder.
I realize when I'm alone at home, I'm like on the computer, like looking at Twitter for the news. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I'm like, all right, I'm done with the computer. And I go on my bed, and I'm on my phone, on Instagram. And when I'm done with that, I'm watching, like, my TV. And it's just a constant cycle of that.
Yeah.
And also, like, 99% of the time, I eat alone. I eat dinner alone in my room. And then before I eat, I have to have something on. Like, I have to find something to watch. And then now, like, now that I'm more aware, like, I'm pretty sure I could just eat without just quietly. But then it seems uncomfortable. So then
and it is, but it's not you that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
So you give it a try and sometimes do it and feel the uncomfortableness, feel these things moving. It's like, oh, you need to turn the TV on. You need to do something, right? Don't do it. At least do it once or twice a week just so that some light can come in to help you along the way.
Like now when I do the silent prayer, after I open my eyes and sit there, I try to spend, you know, like a minute or so just sitting there doing nothing.
Yes.
And then sometimes I'll last like 20 seconds. But like, but now at least I try a little bit.
That's right.
But yeah, sometimes I'll literally last like 15 seconds and then this client emailed me and then I'm off I go.
Amazing. Well, at least a little try is better than nothing. Yeah. Because a little try is bringing a little light, and a little light is encouraging you to want more light. So just stay with it. The devil and his little demons does not want you to stay with it. Stay with it. All right? A little try is better than no try at all. That's amazing, huh? Right here? Did I see your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a few comments. So one thing, the whole spirit thing you're talking about, that is no joke. It is no joke. And I'm saying that because now that I'm starting to be more aware of things, and if I'm around my parents, they do things, and then I hate that they do certain things. It just annoys me, or it just fills me with anger. And then I turn around and do that to my family.
Yeah.
Unconsciously.
Yeah.
I know I hate it, and I see it. That's not even the worst part. The worst part is when I see my kids doing it, because then it pisses me off even more. Because I'm like, damn, like I didn't stop it. Now it's on them.
Did
now
you say piss Andy?
Yeah,
I did.
Church.
But yeah, that it that's where it really gets to me the most, because I see them acting out in a certain way that I don't like it, that my parents did.
So then why don't you stop?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I think that kind of leads me to another question. Like, why are people, I think I've asked this before, but it just doesn't resonate. Like, why are people so dumb? You explain why the devil is there. It's you're saying it clear as day. Everybody here hears it. I'll speak for myself. I've been coming here for a few years. But why doesn't it just stop? Or why can't my brain just...
Are you asking me why are you so dumb?
Yeah. Why am I so dumb?
Because you Mexican.
I rest my case.
only because you haven't gotten to a point to see that it's not you. To see that when those pain come up like that, when you see other people doing stupid stuff, you're judging them, and now you're having a pain from judgment, and you're still not seeing what's happening in you, so you can die from that. Your eyes is on them, making you feel a certain way, and now your kids are becoming like you because they're angry at you for being the way you are, just like you became the way you are, right? You're just not seeing it so you can stop reacting to it inwardly. Stop. Don't blame them. They're not to blame for the way you feel. No matter how they're acting, they are not responsible for you feeling that way. You were feeling that way when they met you. You already, mama screwed you up. Did you know that every human being mother screwed them up? All human beings hate their mothers. I was on Roseanne Barr's show. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
It was an amazing discussion. It was absolutely mind-blowing. Every human being hate their mothers. And as a result of being on Roseanne's show, I've heard from different entertainers and things like that. They're like, wow, I didn't know I hate my mom. I need to talk. They thought mama was fine because mama was at the football game cheering on for them. And then some of them tell me, well, I knew that was something that I didn't like about my mama being there. It's like they really didn't like the fact that mama on the front row cheering, but they thought since it was mama, it must be okay. I'm like, but why do you question that little thing and say, why is mama here? She ain't my woman. I don't know one day when my parents showed up for one of my tournaments. I used to run track really good at it. They didn't show up one time. Here I am, one of the little stars on the team. They never showed up. They never asked me, how was your game? They never said, I'm proud of you. Isn't that amazing? And I never wanted it. I never thought to myself, my parents must not be proud of me running track. Well, how come my parents never... I wanted my girlfriend to show up, but I never wanted my daddy or my mama to show up. That's new. That's something in the way. As a teenager, you're not supposed to want your parents to be there. Like, you want to flirt with the girls want to flirt with the guys. Mama and daddy in the way, how you going to flirt? I'm mad because my dad didn't show up to my football game. Who cares? You want your classmates and you want the opposite team and you want your girlfriend or friends there. You don't want your parents there. That used to be that way. I don't know about now. I saw somebody's hand. Yes, ma'am. Oh, then I saw your hand, right? Okay.
So just a quick question. Practically speaking, what you're just talking about, is that based on like an age group or like an age range? Just like for example, I'll just use my two that are nearly 9 and 10. Do you just like drop them off and roll out? Like what age is that appropriate for, like practically speaking?
It's all ego now. The mama feel good for being there. The daddy, well, the daddy don't really want to be there. He's doing it because mama will cuss him out and tell the kids that the dad don't love you because he didn't show up to your game, right? But it's all ego. But when I was growing up and playing, nobody dropped me off either. I got there on my own. Yeah, I would have my friends pick me up. Now, little kids in the game, they weren't doing that in those days. I don't remember little kids playing every sport that came along. And most of the time, it started when we became teenagers.
Okay, so you're talking sort of 13, 14,
like 13, 14, 15 and up, right?
Okay.
But now because of the making money thing, they have made all these things for kids. And the sports people made all these things, and they making you all put your little kids in these games early so they can make money off you. And then so you can brag to your friend, my daughter plays soccer. And my little 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 11-year-old, 6-year-old play this and that, right? It's a money-making thing that they use against the parents. But normally it happens when you grow up, you're ready for it. You make the decision which sport you want to play. You're not in every sport. It's not costing the parents buku money. Mm-hmm. One uniform you wear the whole 12 years. You didn't have to have on head gear, arm gear, shoulder gear to run track. You know what I mean? But they made a fool out of the parents and make you think that's what you need, and they're making money off you.
But don't you
and you get the thrill from bragging about it.
But don't you, I hear what you're saying, I do understand, but do you not think, like, for example, our kids are only in one sport?
Wow.
Well, they're in one sport. And I think, like, for them, obviously being under 13, then they need to be able to be dropped off, picked up, and whatever. But
well, yeah, if they're little kids, you got to take them. But if you let them decide at teenage, you won't have to take them.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they will want to play, and they will get a way to get there. They will find a way.
Okay.
But because the parents want the thrill of it, they'll put him in there at 3 years old, right? And,
yeah,
and now you got to go and take him. You got to sit around and wait. And then the coach tell you they need another outfit. Now you got three outfits. And the coach tell you need to bring lunch and blah, 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 right? But
I mean, three's pretty.
But the parents feel good about it.
Okay.
That makes sense? Do you disagree with that?
I feel like there's a little bit of a gray area. I do understand what you're saying and the points that you're making. But I think it's also very good for kids. For example, I'll just use Alea. She's in gymnastics. She loves it. It's like an outlet for her, you know, physical activity. She's getting stronger, and it's just one class. Now, I understand if you've got them in this, and then you've got them in that, and then you've got them in this, and you're running around like a crazy person. Totally understand. And I think as they get older and they're able to get themselves there, that's completely different.
Did you introduce that to her, or did she ask to be in there?
She kept doing cartwheels everywhere we went, and was
so you
always.
Said, oh, you need to be in gymnastics.
Well, not do, you know. We
I mean,
kind
do
of,
you want to be in gymnastics?
Yeah,
but you introduced her to her, right?
Cut. I don't
you
remember
the,
how
the
it father. Happened.
Did you introduce her to her? Ask you want to be in gymnastics?
No, she just kept flipping around. So
right.
I flip over there.
Kids flip. But that's my point. That's what kids do. When you're a kid, you have a lot of energy. You got to flip. You're going to climb trees. You're going to whatever, right? That's the natural energy of children. And then if they go to school, they have PE classes where you go out and do gym stuff, right? And they get their exercise that way, through PE class. And then when they get older in school, they decide which sport they want to play. And that's when they be good at it because there's no pressure. There's no pressure on the parents and no pressure on them. They just wanted to do it. That's how it used to work.
That makes sense.
So what if they...
And it didn't cost a lot of money and their parents didn't need to buy a minivan because they got to load up all this stuff to take. And it's all ego from the parents being seduced by the people who make the products and stuff. And because of the ego, you're subject to the world. But if you weren't subject to the ego, if the whole neighborhood kids played this sport and yours didn't, you wouldn't be moved by it. You wait till your child decide at whatever point if they want to play or not. But the ego says you got to have it too. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, just in analyzing myself and what I do with the kids, I mean, as of right now, I don't think there's any of my ego in it, just because, like, a lot of the time I'll drop her off and I don't even watch her. I'll be working in the car while she's in class. And I think she's doing it because she wants to do it, because she has a love for it. And I'm not dropping her off at a whole rack of different activities.
I can guarantee you when she was flipping, if y'all never said you want to get in gymnastics, she never would have said it. And if
Maybe.
She would have said it, decided it would be a different age. I guarantee you that. Because that's how I used to be.
I think there's also another aspect in it. Lastly, I'll say is that I think that it's really good for them to get their energy out. And I think certain kids are a little bit different. Some are more just naturally sort of have less energy, whereas I think some kids kind of need to be in physical activity to kind of run the extra energy off.
A kid with less energy has more anger. I promise
maybe,
you that.
Maybe, that's probably true.
I promise you that. Natural energy is not angry.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, okay. Amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. This is why I want you to get to know yourself so you can see how you've been manipulated by the devil in you and the devil outside of you, inside of others. They have a hold of us and we don't know it until we wake up. We think it's our idea and it's not. Yes, ma'am. And then, who else? Let me take here, then here, right? Yes.
Is it because we don't have a lot of practice at looking at ourselves and what's inside of us? Because ultimately, I'll be honest, when I first came here and you would say it's not you, it took me and it's still taking me quite a long time to realize that, because I think in my intellectual mind, I'm trying to create equality. And I'm like, there's only one body, so there's only one thing that fits in here. There's no way that there could be more than one thing in here, because this is one body and only one thing, equal parts water and oil or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that there is something else other than what I've been taught exists inside of me, which is one self. But if the true self never really has to think, then isn't it even more so not natural or not something that we know how to do, because the real us doesn't have to think about it?
All right. It's unnatural to be a thinker. Are you asking that?
Yeah. But
right. Just like the thinking mind, which is the devil's mind, lead the body and you. You're not your body, but lead you, make you feel that you do crazy stuff or so-called good stuff. That's the thinking mind. The non-thinking mind would do the same thing, but it'd be well.
So if going back to the layers, in the layers, is there the beliefs that started out as a thought, but because you believed it, you no longer even have to think about it? It actually guides the way that you do things?
The thing that started out as a thought?
Yeah, like whatever.
One thought leads to another thought.
But how do you get to the belief? Because I think sometimes you talk about watch your thoughts. I feel like there's, for whatever reason, and maybe this is the mess that I'm in or put myself in, but there's some trauma that happened. And so in that moment, because of it was attached to something violent, I believed it and I no longer question it. It's just, it guides me in certain ways and I can catch myself only sometimes.
Right.
But if I'm looking for a specific thought, I won't find it because it's not a thought anymore, it's a belief. Is that just me creating a bunch of mess?
Don't look for a specific thought. You just look at all thoughts.
Oh, okay.
Don't have that a specific thought in mind.
But what if you can't find the thoughts? I think sometimes I'm like, I don't know what I'm looking for. I don't know.
Right. You don't know what you're looking for. Don't make up what you're looking for, and don't look for a specific anything.
Okay.
You just want to be the observer
of everything.
Of everything.
Okay.
Work on yourself with everything with that.
Okay. Because I think I might be limiting myself then, because I'm trying to create some little diagram and rule, and this goes in this column.
The devil got you doing that. That's
okay.
Not you.
That's fair.
Anything to stay home in you, he gonna do. Well, do it this way. Look at this. Look at the last time somebody slapped you.
That's super fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he tried. Don't do that. You ought to watch all thoughts, because all thoughts are all lies, all the time about anything. So you just want to be the watchman. You want to watch.
That's fair. Okay.
And watching it would take care of it. It would solve the problem. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You want to watch the so-called good ones. The one where you feel like you have no problems. You just feel good. And you just feel free. And Satan say, oh, look at you, you feel good. Yeah. The moment he gets you to think about you feeling good, let that pass.
Okay.
Because in feeling good, there's no thinking.
Okay.
But he'll make you think about the fact you have no pain right now. Let that pass too. Because the moment he can make you think about, oh, I have no pain, he's about to smack you with something else.
Okay. Everything. Okay. Yeah. Just focus on everything.
Amazing. Let me say here, then here. I think that's it. Yes.
First of all, today's fellowship is amazing.
Amazing.
Because I've had something to say every time. And I'm just going to say about the quiet, the how you started the fellowship about your friend. You know, the world is a lot.
It was so amazing hearing them tell me to serve.
Yeah, because that. Because
they were stunned at all that was going on. They're like the little wannabe.
A few years ago, I was in the hospital. I was quarantined. And you realize how loud the world is when you're in a room by yourself. Then a few hours go by, and then you realize how loud your head is because you're alone. I wasn't watching TV, and then you start, wow, my head is just as loud as the world because the world is loud. You beat the, you know, right here on the traffic. And then, but then after a few hours of being in a room by yourself, you're like, wait, my head is just as loud as the world, and stuff starts going on. And I wasn't where I'm at today. Like, and I was just thinking, when I do the silent prayer, it's almost like a sleeping pill to me. Every time I do the silent prayer before I go to bed, I'm out. Like, I am out. And I've never slept like that ever in my life. I don't know if that's common for anybody else, but it's the best sleeping
pill. The more you overcome evil, even your rest, he will give you good sleep. Everything's going to be even key. It'll be fine.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yes, sir.
I was going to ask.
Ask.
When my mother was a few months pregnant with me, she had cancer, found out she had cancer, and the doctors, and so according to my grandmother, who's hardcore Christian too, that even family members were on board about trying to abort me, that they had come to her and said, oh, may help you live longer if you abort this baby. But she chose saying, no, I already had a couple kids, I can't let this one go. And she had me, but then she died. So do I hate my mother if she did something like that?
Well, no, you don't hate her because, I mean, you're grown enough to understand.
Yeah, I ended up getting a stepmom a few years later, which I understand all that
right.
other stuff.
No, you don't hate your mother. You understand that she had no control of that. But she had you. I remember growing up when they didn't have this abortion stuff going on. They had all kind of babies. Deformed babies, messed up babies, crooked babies. Oh, kind of baby. I remember. Oh,
but is it okay to say I don't hate her because she did such a loving thing?
No, not because she did such a loving thing, but because you just don't have resentment for her.
And then on the other thing about
see that clearly, though. Not don't say, oh, I don't hate my mother because she had me. You could be lying.
Yeah.
But I don't hate my mother because she had cancer and she had me. You want to see in your heart that you don't have it.
Yeah. And the other question I had about the kids in sports, what about people like Tiger Woods or Floyd Mayweather, who had a father who got them very young, and they got to be so good that other people who want to kind of casually get into it have no competition with such an elite level of guidance from a father that's taught them at
but
such a young age.
Look how miserable Tiger Woods is.
Yeah, there
He's
you go.
He's not a happy man. He has all the fame and glory, but no peace.
Yeah. I'm just saying the elite level they attained wouldn't have been possible without that leadership, though, right?
But that was evil and not good.
Okay.
Amazing. But other people are seeing it, like, I want to be like Tiger Woods. And they're going to walk right into his misery. They may learn how to hit a golf ball, but they're going to be miserable. You can have both. You got peace within and without and still do what you want to do. And have the right relationship with it. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to go back to what you were saying because I think it was really a great point.
Who was that?
Huh?
Who was that you put it? The young lady? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you were talking about the thoughts and how they become like beliefs. It's so true because what happens is the thoughts become beliefs and the beliefs become your reality. And so, for instance, if I saw you and I thought you don't like me. So every time that I think about you, that belief is settled into my life, and then that becomes my reality, and it's completely not true.
Yeah. Amazing. Absolutely. Like the thought was driving you, one thought would lead to another, now everybody hates you, I'm gonna lose my husband, what does happen, blah, 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 right? One thought led to thousands. Yeah. That's why you start catching those thoughts, and so when one thought comes, it'll be gone, and it can't affect you. The other ones have to pass. They will pass. Yes. No. No problem. Yeah.
But can't you just get to the belief, and then that way you don't have to worry about all the other stuff? Like I'm trying to get to the belief. I know there's a lot of thoughts that add that.
Why do you want belief?
I don't. Because I want to just cut it. I want to like cut the head off.
When you start catching the thoughts, you will destroy belief.
Okay.
You can't have the belief without the thought. You do want to overcome belief. You want to know God. You don't want to believe anything about it, right? But once the thoughts are gone, the belief is gone too. When you catch that one thought,
the belief is not an accumulation of thoughts. A bigger thought. I think in my mind, I think the belief is a bigger thought, and the thoughts are just smaller thoughts. Again, I'm all up in my head. Okay.
The thought is a small thought and a small belief. And then you believe more, then it grows. And you believe more, then it grows, and then it grows and grows.
Wow.
It's so amazing. Yes.
Speaking on the traumas, do you think that, in your opinion, do you think that the trauma, like something that dramatic happens in our lives and it creates all kinds of thrills, right? And do you think that Satan keeps using that and to remind us of that moment that was so quote unquote dramatic? And
we call it a trauma? The more you react to it, the more he's going to remind you of it to keep you reacting so he can control you.
So there is no trauma. It was never a trauma. No. It's a belief.
No matter what has happened to your body, no matter what it was, you were never traumatized. Yeah. You overreacted to evil and you identify with it. That's why the body heals, but the spirit never heals until you forgive. But no matter what has happened, as I said last night, you could be raped morning, noon, and night, and afternoon, and for lunch. And then they can invite Johnny, Joe, and Jill over to rape you. And then they can put it on YouTube. And they can put on that. You have never been raped. Your body was. You're not your body. But because you overreacted, identified with the body, you thought it was you, and the spirit of devil made you relive it over and over and over and over and over again. And then the psychiatrist tell you, come for counseling, and they remind, tell me what happened again. And you go next week, tell me what happened again. And you go next week, tell me what happened again. All you ever do is talk about the problem. Giving room to the devil. They never tell you to forget. To forgive so you can forget. And your body will heal. I mean, your spirit will heal. Isn't that amazing? What's making you cry right now?
That is so funny that you asked, because I just caught myself crying. And something right before I started crying said, poor you. That was terrible what happened. And I felt it. And it felt like pain, and then I started crying, and then I caught myself, and I was like, I haven't done that in a while. Where in the world did that just come from? Yeah. And it was started with a thought.
It was a thought
like, oh, poor you. That was a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
And when he identified, when he said poor you, you felt poor me. Yep.
And I immediately started crying. Yeah. I literally couldn't even stop it. Like the water started coming out of my eyes.
Yes. When it's not poor you, nothing happened to you.
Yeah.
It happened to the body. It happened then. It's not even happening now.
Yeah.
It's over with, but he keep reminding you so you can feel poor me.
Yeah.
Next time they say, no, no poor me. That ain't me.
Yeah.
I see you. That ain't me.
So no equal parts water and oil.
That's right.
Okay.
Dump that out. I got to get to the biblical question. Yes, ma'am. Well, go ahead. No, go ahead. You've been sitting there looking crazy all morning.
Crazy?
No, I'm playing.
it's funny. So funny. You say the funniest things to me.
You've been sitting there looking like that.
Well, I'm just watching a lot of stuff. That's all. I know. Yeah.
I'm like, what's on her mind? Nah.
That's so funny. I raised my hand because I'm listening to everything and making that face and watching my thoughts. And it brought me to the biblical question. I think...
Let me put it out there. You okay, about to respond to the biblical question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to make sure I get it right. I wrote it down.
No, this is crazy.
Do you know God? Who is God? Do you know God? First of all, do you know God?
No.
So you're not even telling me who he is then?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because, and I feel really clear in saying that because, like these past few weeks, for example, in conjunction with everything everybody's been talking about and watching your thoughts and how your emotions, you know, all of these things we've talked about for the last year, the thrills, the taking sides, and all of these things that I've been watching and looking at for, I don't know, a fair amount of days. All I can see while I'm going through some like recent life activity is like, I don't know God, because if I did, there is no reason for me to have a feeling, get lost in my thoughts, go off in the corner and be like, why do I, you know, all these things that our thoughts tell us to do. Why am I thinking like this? Why did I trip up on the devil again? Da 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 da, whatever. Like it's all a big hamster wheel that leads us straight to hell. And it is hell. We were born in jail. We're in jail. We don't see that we're in jail. You want to talk about the justice system? You don't even know how in jail you are. So it's all a lie, and I don't know God. And, like, who is God? I don't know. You know, I think I when I sat with this biblical question this week, like, all I could see was that I've been trained, I've been told, I've been worshiping, I've been hooping, I've been hollering, I've been egoing about who God is to feel better, to look good, to pretend that I think that I know, to make you look stupid, to have me teach you. I mean, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, these are all things that for 20 plus years I did. And when I really sit and look at myself and watch all this stuff, like, I mean, how can I say I know God? I don't know who I am. I'm sitting at my kitchen table with 900,000 thoughts going around. One minute I'm amazing. The next minute I suck. The next minute I need to die. The next minute, you know, I'm so aware of like these thrills that I get now. There's no way that I know God. The thrills are right from the pit of hell, you amazing. Know? So no, I, you know, a year ago I would have been like, I have to come up with an answer of how I look that I know God, because here's my experience. Look at what happened to me when I was 20. Let me testify. You know, like, I'm not into that anymore, man. I don't know. I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. You had your hair. Yes, sir. So
this is the biblical question?
Yeah. Do you know God, and who is God?
So, the timing of this question is actually pretty ironic, because we had a childhood friend that died recently, and his memorial service was on Thursday. So the concept of the word God has been thrown around pretty much a lot this week. So I think God, the concept of a higher power, is like a spiritual guidance for us to go back to the light, go back to what's good, go back to what's right. Because like you said, we're born of spirit. And when we're born, we're of evil from our mothers. So believing in God is kind of, in the concept and all his teaching, is kind of straight us more back towards the light from that evil, from the, what you must say, to kind of go back to what's good, you know, because we live in a world, our spirit, this is our human body, but our spirit, like, is condensed with all its evilness that consumes us, whether it be fear, anxiety, depression. But by believing in God, we kind of stray ourselves to go back to the light, to just remember that those are all lies.
Okay. Amazing. Yes, sir.
I'll try answering the biblical question.
Do you know God? Who is God?
I don't think I know God, but I know like certain things about him. Like, I know for sure he created this place and that he created us. And he's like this like mysterious figure that just has our back if we follow his rules. And then like, I don't really know him. Like, these things aren't important, but I don't know if he has a family. I don't know if he has friends. Like, I don't know if like he created,
he has a cousin.
Yeah, like I don't know if he created other places like this, or like, I don't really know him, but I just know that like he's, for sure he's of peace because I can experience that. And for sure he's real because the crazy anger that I had, he took it away. There's no way that could have disappeared, like, amazing, without it. Nice. And then another thing, I get to know more about him through me, I realized, because like for example, like the Jesus flipping table situation, like most people are like, oh, he's angry, you know, but now I understand, because I feel like I can flip tables without being angry at all, just to prove a point. Yeah. And I kind of get to know more about him through my own experiences by looking within, I guess. But I don't really know, like no God. Like, I feel like I don't really know God, like, okay, exactly who he is.
Okay, amazing. The young lady in the black want to respond to it. And then the young lady in the white, blah, there. Yes. Who do you know God, and who is God?
I think a Sunday, I think a few months ago, there was a young man here who said, you know, I'm not my pleasure nor my pain. I am what can let it all go. And I only know God when I feel like I'm able to do that. Let go of the pain.
So the answer, do you know God?
I would say, I don't know, yes.
And who is God?
Well, maybe I don't know what perfect peace is, because perfect peace would be to not have, like, any emotions, any anger, any thoughts. So maybe I don't really know what perfect peace is, and I can't understand what perfect peace is. So maybe question would have to be no.
Are you saying no, you don't know God? I thought you said yes, you knew him.
Yeah.
You're confusing me. I like your shoes, but you're confusing me. They remind me of the good old days when I had the big fro.
Wasn't that what you were talking about?
Hmm? Those shoes coming back in style?
Yeah, they keep me closer to God.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Yes. So are you saying you do know God, or you don't know God?
I'm getting to know him.
Do you know God, or you don't know God?
Okay, I know him.
And who is God?
Light.
Who?
Light.
Light?
Love.
Okay.
Peace. Not wanting anything, not being nobody, and finding peace in that, and there is no other desire for anything.
Okay, amazing. The young lady in the white, do you know God, and who is God?
I've never asked myself this question, but when I first heard it, initially I thought the light, but over the course of the week, I was like, God is probably, I don't know him. The answer is no, I don't know him.
Oh, okay.
But he's revealed to me the truth. He is the truth, and the truth is revealed to me through the Father. So okay, that's all I know.
All right. The young man in the front one, in front of you, want to answer. Do you know God? And who is God?
Yes.
You know God. And
yes.
Who is God?
God is the creator.
He's creator of what?
Life.
Okay.
God is eternal love, and he's our heavenly Father.
The creator of life, eternal love, and heavenly Father.
Yes.
Okay. Amazing.
Peace and all that good stuff, too.
Yep. Peace and all that good stuff.
Amen.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah.
Is this your first time here?
It is.
Oh, what's your first name?
Andrew.
Andrew, welcome, man.
Thank you.
All right. The young man in the back want to respond to it.
Me?
No, you.
Oh, man,
do you know God?
I thought I did to answer that. That's the question. I don't know God, but I've seen all the miracles God done in my life.
Okay.
And I understand. From that, I know there's a God. And
all
I know
right.
the God from the Bible, the description, how they give them to him in the Bible. But it's kind of the question they ask, I've heard before, I've been asked, who are you? And it's kind of difficult to answer. But
okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yes, Raymond. Raymond has his hand there. Do you know God, Raymond? And
no, I do not know God.
And why do you say you don't know him?
Because I know absolutely nothing on my own. And as that realization is the reason that I want to know God.
Okay. Amazing. Yes, sir. Do you know God? Hold on a minute. Do you know God? And
good morning,
who is
Jesse.
God?
DJ down here. Yes, I do.
You do know God. And
same
who
answer
is
in men's group Thursday.
I'm sorry?
Same answer is in men's group Thursday. Yes, absolutely 100%.
So you do know God 100%?
100%. And 110%. Who, let's say 110%.
And who is God?
God is pure love, the creator of everything, everything material and physical and spiritual, emotional. With God's, God looks out my little kitty's eye. Right? God,
what?
God looks out of my cat's eye, my little kitty cat. Right? God is in the trees when you walk by, right? Not in people, but everything else, everything except for people, not your Ferrari, right? But everything else in nature, right. Everything created. Like they said, not
and
not
how
a bird.
Do you know that you know God?
That's a good question. I don't know.
But how can you know him and don't know? How
I don't know. I don't know all. I don't question all the steps on how I got there. But it's been years. And it's 100%. Sometimes I may separate myself from the Lord, but once known, always known, Jesse.
Okay.
Once known, always known. And even, no matter how far I go, separate from that. That once known, always known.
All right.
Right.
So yes, lessons.
You didn't see me question myself at all on that.
That's right.
Not
I wish
one,
you
not
had,
1%,
but you didn't.
No doubt.
Right. Okay. A lesson. Do you know God? Who is God?
No, I don't.
And why do you say you don't?
Because I am still confused at times. I still don't fully understand myself. Okay. I've seen glimpses and stuff, and I have understanding with certain things, but not entirely. So there is still, like, separation.
Okay. And did I see your hand? Okay. Do you know God, and who is God? Not and, but who is God?
My answer is God is love, but I don't know love.
And then how you know he is love?
It's a paradox. God is definitely love, but...
How do you know that?
I mean, it's said it in the Bible, but I think it's bigger than that. I unfortunately can't describe love, and unfortunately I'm just
and
a
so
man.
And so then how do you know God is love?
It's like I don't know God either, then.
And then how do you know God is love?
That's the best question I've ever heard.
Yeah, but you're not... you're not answering it.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You know you love, but you don't know how you know that.
Correct.
Give me a drink. Okay, thank you, buddy. Here and there, and then I'm going to wind it down. Look at the clock here. I didn't see another hand, right? Right here. Do you know God?
It's
and
interesting.
Who is God?
You asked me this question last week.
I
and
did?
My answer, yes.
Well, okay.
And my answer was yes, and today it's
you
no.
You do know God?
Today, that when you asked me during the service, I said yes. Today my answer is no. What I've learned through these biblical questions is to be slow to answer, because what I realized is that I answered on, it was like I was on autopilot. You know, as I was thinking about it when I was driving home, I'm like, do I really know God? And then I thought, you know, well, of course, because I'm a Christian. It's ridiculous for me as a Christian woman to say that I don't know God. That
right.
doesn't sound right. But when I think about the fact that I don't even know who I am yet, I don't believe that I do know him. I have gotten glimpses of who I believe he is. You know, I've gotten that blissful feeling and that peaceful feeling that I wish I could bottle and have all the time. But those are not common occurrences for me, at least.
Right.
So I would say no, I'm getting to know him.
Okay. The young lady in black and the last word with the young lady in white. Do you know God, and who is God?
So I think I would say no,
I don't, because I think the only way I would have ever known God is being introduced by other people. And the most people that I've just in my experience that say that they know who God is and tell me who he was are the most judgmental people I've ever met.
Yeah.
So as I travel down this road and realize that is not him, then I have to question the source of where I got the information, and maybe I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Do you know God? Who is God?
No, I don't know God.
And how do you know you don't know him?
Because I'm always questioning things, and I shouldn't be questioning things. I should just be, and I don't feel I know God.
Okay. Frank, you want the last word on this. Do you know God? I wish you guys had heard the men's form about this. I went home and got high. No, I'm playing. I'm just joking. I can hear them now. Jesse said he got high.
I was raised Catholic, so I used to believe that.
Do you know God? Who is God?
I don't know.
I'm sorry?
I said I don't know. I used to think it was Jesus.
Do you know God?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
And how do you know that you don't know him?
Because I used to think he was something that, in my mind. So, a bunch of confusion, you know. Okay. So.
Sean and Hate got the last word. Sean, do you know God? Who is God?
Yes.
And who is God?
He's the Father within. He reveals things to you from within.
Okay. Hake, of the Hake Report, do you know God? Who is God?
I'm not sure whether I know God or not.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
And why not?
Because I feel like I can recognize truth sometimes, or recognize love, but I'm kind of confused in general.
Why is everybody laughing at you?
It's funny because it's true.
Oh. Amazing. Yes, sir. Do you know God, and who is God?
First off, nobody don't know God.
No, do you know God?
I'm talking about nobody.
No, do you know God?
I'm just messing with you, Jesse.
I know.
Yes, I do.
And who is God?
God is love.
And how do you know that?
Because I've experienced it.
Meaning what?
I walked this journey, I looked at myself, and I found him.
You found love?
Yes.
Oh, God.
He is love, so yes.
And what does his love feel like?
It doesn't feel like anything.
Okay. Amazing. The young lady next to you. She's a little ex-Bible thumper. I can't wait to get to her.
Hang on a minute.
I'm learning how to be a wife of my husband.
I don't know where you got this ex-Bible thumper. I've never been a Bible thumper.
Oh, okay.
I was raised in church, but I weren't never a Bible thumper.
Nice. Do you know God?
I don't know.
I'm sorry?
I don't know.
I'm sorry?
I do not know.
And why do you say you don't?
Because I'm still thinking about it.
Okay. The young lady behind you. Do you know God?
Yes, I do.
You do know God?
Yes.
And who is God?
He's love.
And how do you know that?
Because I have a lot of peace.
You have a lot of peace?
And I don't care what anybody else thinks or says.
Okay. Amazing. So, because of time, I want to really get into this, and if the Lord is willing, we'll pick up on it Sunday. But the one thing I do want to tell you without a doubt, and that's me for me and everybody in the world. If you think you know God, you don't know God. It's impossible to think about God. It's impossible. Every thought you get about God is from Satan. God is not into thinking. He doesn't give you thinking. He ain't care about the thinking. He is into the knowing. And you have learned about God. I and everybody have learned about God and been talking about God, but don't know God. He's not into the thinking. It's impossible to think about God. Even when you get the love feeling, or Sean said he got whatever feeling, right? Even a thought about that is not God. Satan is making you feel that way and telling you it's from God. The imagination is deceitful to the core. It's evil, it's deceiving, and it'll make you think you know God, and you don't. When you stop thinking, period, about anything, really, then you shall know God. But when you think about that, you don't know God. I'm putting this out there so you work on yourself. I know everybody working on themselves, and I know how tricky this thing is, right? But if you really think about it, God said, bring every thought into captivity. Every thought about anything. And Satan is pretending to be God. He can read the Bible. He can quote the Bible. He can tell you exactly what you need to feel, what you need to think, and say, that is love. That is God. And because you're not overcome the imagination yet, you believe it. Especially if someone says something about it, you think, well, that's it. I want to encourage you, get to a point, work on this. Get to a point where you hear knowledge, as we've done today. Watch yourself so the knowledge don't deceive you to make you think that you know. You got to admit to yourself, you know what, I just heard that point, I don't understand the rest of it. It's like when Francisco used to work on planes, airplanes, before he retired. And whenever I would talk to him, he would go on and on and on about an airplane. On and on for hours. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I got tired of saying, oh yeah. Because you get to a point where he can tell you certain things about the plane, like it has wings. You put gas in it, and whatever. But then he get it because he knows the ins and out of an airplane. He started telling me things about the plane. I would have to lie to say, oh, yeah, that made sense. It made no sense. It was just knowledge, but it made no sense. But I pretend that it made sense, and it didn't. I didn't know anything about all the ins and out of the plane. That's how it is with wisdom. You got to watch knowledge. It's deceiving. You can only go so far with knowledge, and when you got to pay attention, you say, well, you know, I really don't understand that part of it. And when you can admit to yourself, I don't understand it, you will understand it. Because now knowledge will disappear, the imagination will disappear, and not deceive you to make you think that you do know. Then you're going to have to go out there quoting a lie. Because when you got this knowledge, you think you understand, you're going to preach. You're going to tell everybody else what you think you know, or they don't know, or you're judging them, you're on them because you think you know. And it's all intellect. So when I say we have to watch ourselves, we really got to watch. When I tell you about, don't come up with a special thought or how to pull out one, you just watch all thoughts. You want to become the watchman and the watch lady so that the devil don't make you think that you know. Because he'll give you a warm feeling, and somebody say, oh, that warm feeling is love, right? And Satan will give you a warm feeling, and he'll tell you, oh, that's the love of God. And you'll believe it. Or whatever it is. The intellect is evil. That's why all intellectual people are evil. The imagination is deep and wicked, and it has no restrictions. Satan made a promise that he's going to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he's doing it through the thoughts, the imagination. Bring every thought into captivity, even the Bible, even everything. Read the Bible, but not to remember. Satan will use it against you. What do y'all think about that? Yes, sir, real fast.
So who is God? Right. What I came up with that part of it was, he is me, but I am not him. Right. So when I'm still, that's where he's at. That's where I meet him. But when I'm off into my imagination and all that other evil stuff, I'm totally removed from who I am. So who is, there is no who then, right? He can't be, because all those things we explained here was
God
what,
cannot right? be thought of.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah.
And the things about the trees and all that, we only believe that because we've been told. We never looked at no tree and see how it really got here. Nobody saw God creating the tree. Though we know he created all things intellectually, right? We do know that. But I hear people say, oh, when I look out at the trees, I see God. I'm like, you lying. You don't see no God. Your imagination see God.
Disagree.
Your imagination see God. Because when you know God, you're going to have a clear and sound mind. Your mind won't be confused. But you could stay that way, though, if you want to. I'm not telling you, living it right. That's right. And it's not up for debate either, but no, I'm just telling you.
No, I do.
God will give you a clear and sound mind. He really will. He loves you. He would not want you confused. He does not want you in your intellect. And he will use you in the right way to make you do your practical work, too. He'll work with that as well. All right? So watch yourself. All I'm saying is, oh, this is another thing, real fast, and I'll talk about it more. Get rid of all your heroes. No more heroes. All right? You, when you fellowship with me or anyone, don't make them or yourself a hero. Next week, I want to talk about how we create heroes. I now understand that clearly. You don't want any heroes, period. That doesn't mean you don't appreciate people's talent. You see, like, wow, that's cool. But don't get rid of preacher heroes, deacon heroes, music heroes, president heroes,
Marvel.
Mama heroes, daddy heroes, brother, sister heroes, military heroes. No more heroes. I want you to work on that too. And when I come back next, here's what I want to do. This week, work on your heroes. I want to know how you got rid of them, if you get rid of them. And tell me how many heroes y'all had. All right? I really used to wonder, how do heroes come about? We were not allowed to have a hero when I was growing up. You would have got smacked in the face if you're talking about, that's my hero. And I appreciate that now. Now I understand why people get all messed up. So, here's your assignment for this week. Watch the heroes you have and get rid of them. And don't let me forget to bring this up the first thing, unless something crazy happened, all right? We'll talk about it next Sunday, all right? My brand new biblical question. I had to write it down. I can't find it. Oh, here's my brand new biblical question. And the young man in the black shirt want to respond to it. I see it in him already. Yeah, you. Is it fair to believe a woman? Is it fair to believe a woman? I mean,
I don't think so.
You don't think it's fair to believe a woman?
I mean, it depends on one sense, but also not trying to be disrespectful, but a lot of women can be deceiving, and that's why I don't think it's fair to believe in them.
Amazing. Well, that's the biblical question for next week. I can hear Joel talk about it on Thursday. Tune into Joel Friday. I mean, next week, Monday. Joyify TV. But listen, that's the biblical. Is it fair to believe a woman? I heard a woman say this. Long story short, she was dating this guy, and they were all in love, smooching love, right? And then the guy was falsely accused, and it went out in the media. And she believed it right away. Even though just minutes before and years, they loved one another. And then they found out that the person had made the story up. And the person had to go back to the media and say, I just made it. Matter of fact, she was paid to make the story up. Isn't that amazing? But the woman turned on him, and he like, I thought you knew me. Damn. And she was like, well, you know, honey, it's fair to believe a woman, but not a man. Isn't it amazing? So that's the biblical question. I may have told this, answered it already. I know, huh? Yeah. Is it fair to believe a woman? All right, listen. Work on you, work on you. You are your world, and all this hell that you experience is in your world. It's in other people's world too, in them, but it's in your world. You can overcome it. Go forgive your mothers. Everybody hate their mothers. There's not one that don't. And forgive your fathers for not protecting you. Return to your father and watch. That's all you need to do at this point, all right? Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. And I wish you well this week. Work on you. You can have paradise right here on earth, or you can stay in your hell right here on earth, all right? But you got to forgive if you want heaven. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for your support. And thank you all. And we'll do the Super Chats Monday. All right, let me, Nick is coming with the basket for the money, and Jane with the credit card, and we're not going to hold.